It is now time for the Craig James Financial Report with our own Craig Ferrantino, certified wealth strategist extraordinaire, president of the Craig James Financial Services. In the business for over 30 years and for good reason. Craig James, of course, located right at 510 Broad Hollow Road in Melville. You can call for details later. Any questions you might have, 631-393-2888. And, of course, as I always tell you, to check out a very important website, LoyalInvestmentAdvisors.com, the aforementioned Craig Ferrantino. We say a very good morning to him. Sir, how are you?
Good, Jay. As you know, interesting topic, your last topic there. Very shooken up over here in East End of Long Island, so very, very important. Anyway, U.S. stocks finished lower for the week, taking a breather following a strong performance since the beginning of the year. Actually, market had been up 2% since January. Which is still in January, which is very interesting. Global markets underperformed on the fears of the corona outbreak. Well, that's coming in more into play right now. We're seeing current futures on the Dow. It got as low. You know, the futures market basically predicts how the Dow is going to open. It doesn't really predict much about the day, but it predicts how the Dow may open today. And right now, all 30 stocks are falling on the Dow, with Apple and Boeing being the biggest drags. And it's really about this coronavirus. So we'll get a little more to that, but let's keep going with the update, and we'll come back. We'll circle back to that. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed for the week 28,990, down 1.2% for the week. The S&P 500 Index 3296, down 1% for the week. Year to date, still the S&P 500 up 2%, the Nasdaq 93.15 down 0.8% for the week. Nasdaq are mostly four letter stocks and five letter stocks, and down up 3.8% for the year, or still in January. 10-year Treasury is actually back down. It was in the 1.70 for 10 years, 1.69, and oil. $54.35 a barrel, big indicator of how the health and who's got a demand for oil. Down 7.2% for the week. Year to date, oil is down 11%. So very volatile. It's a commodity. I have to, you know, tell people that oil is a commodity, just like corn and wheat and pork bellies and orange juice futures and things like that. So it does. Oil tends to trade a lot more volatile. And why is oil down? Because it's a concern about, it's all about the China trade deal, Guess what? Coronavirus. It's all about the coronavirus right now. I think there's 50 cases in the United States, a lot more in other places. It stopped the Chinese New Year, basically in China, which is a lot more people than we have in terms of population. And stopped, Disney from operating in China and a few other things. Supposedly massive quarantines. This is the Chinese New Year, and not a lot of people are celebrating. Very, very interesting. So that's the basic news of the markets. And on top of that, Jay, there's some interesting little did some analysis of the weekend. We had a nice weekend to look at some of these things. The stocks over time, as of 12/31/19, the S&P 500 was up 74 of the last 100 months, 74% of the time on a monthly, month-to-month basis, 140 of the last 200 months, and 202 of the last 300 months. So the further you go out, you go down 300 months, you're up 67%, but the last... last 100 months, you're up 74% of the time. So very, very, very interesting. It's, as you know, the S&P 500 is a index that's Apple-weighted. You know, some of the largest companies control the S&P 500. So if Apple is down, the S&P 500 is pretty much down. That's how it works. And if you look at some of the 50 states in the United States, the economies of nine of the 50 states are forecasted to contract over the next 6 months. This is from the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. As you know, there's several part of the Federal, New York has a Federal Reserve too. of the state, the greatest number of states projected to suffer economically since 2009. The nine states are, these are all states that are contracted: West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Montana, Oklahoma, Vermont, New Jersey, Kentucky, and Connecticut. New York's not contracting. These states are, these are states that are contracting, not expanding. And what other, some interesting news out there that's very, very exciting. Inflation is measured by the Consumer Price Index. Was up just 1.8% for the year. Now we're at about 2.3% for 2019. So inflation's up slightly. In the decade of the 70s, we had a 7.4% annual inflation rate in the 1970s. We lived through that, Jay. And so just some basic news of the economy and some basic economic news, which I think are great. So today we're seeing our first real sell-off in a long time, and the markets haven't opened yet. I haven't actually turned on the TV. I just pulled up the futures now, but I'll let you know that the anxiety is growing over the spreading coronavirus that's originating from China. Over the last 12 hours or so, the Dow on the futures was down 424 points. Now, when you look at 424 points based on a 29,000 market, it's really, you know, if you're flying at 29,000 and you drop 400 feet, it's not really a big deal. But it's nonetheless, it's going to be reported. And Boeing stock was dropped 2.2%, and you're starting to see Apple stock falling 2.5%. People have argued to sell Apple. We talked about that a few weeks ago, Jay. Might be a good time to take some profits on Apple. I'm not saying they're going down, but this is the type of thing that people are concerned about. So, all right, so what's on your plate, Jay?
Well, you know, you mentioned, things revolve around China, without question, whether it be phase one, the tariffs, the hold, and everything else, the USMCA deal, that's going to take center stage as far as the official signing and everything else. You know, it's interesting, in the latest numbers, Craig, pretty much tell us 80 now have died from this coronavirus. At least 2,700 have been infected. At this point, I think, you know, the numbers are only elevating. We see it almost minute to minute. I hate to say that, but, you know, this thing has gone global. 50 cases confirmed outside of China. Three, I think, that might be up to five as far as the U.S. is concerned. U.S. and France have both now taken measures to evacuate citizens or diplomats from China to avoid the spread of this thing. Listen, I'm not going to use the word epidemic, but those numbers are somewhat alarming here. It's contagious. Doctors believe that. Before people actually show symptoms, that could seriously undermine some of the quarantine and treatment efforts here. So, you know, this is something to keep an eye on. And thus, what you have seen as far as the market down, 170 points on Friday and going into this week, you know, it's going to be an interesting week with all that, you know, some of the good that has happened, a lot of good happening as far as these agreements are concerned. But again, anything in and around China, you know, it tells you that, guess what? You are under the microscope now, and thus these markets will be affected in a big way, you know?
Right. Well, see, the concern is that the Chinese infrastructure isn't set up. We think that everybody's the United States, and in fact, it's not. There's some other stories out there that they were setting up a Plum Island in our area, a Plum Island type laboratory where they could look at infectious diseases. And I was supposed to be certified in 2017. It wasn't officially. Nobody would certify because they felt it wasn't ready yet. Anyway, the Chinese ignored that and started working. That's one angle of it. Another angle that says that 5 million people have left Wuhan, which is the heart center of the epicenter of the coronavirus. About 5 million people have left that city, so they could, before travel restrictions were imposed. So you have potentially some of those carriers coming to the United States. So there are things to be worried about. On the positive side, Johnson & Johnson came out with a statement, I think this morning, saying that they're confident that they could have a vaccine for this virus in 2 months or so. So, but you never know. You know, the last outbreak, I was trying to go back in history here, and so the outbreak, how did the markets, because investors are very concerned about this, obviously, and we are seeing some weakness today, and we saw some weakness on Friday. How did the markets react, Jay, over the last few years when there's a pandemic or an epidemic? The last big one that I could remember, well, one, I was as a advanced life support person, ALS, EMT. We had, Ebola. We actually had to do Ebola training. I don't think the markets were, I couldn't find any data that said the markets were affected much by the Ebola outbreak. The one before that was SARS, which is, that was back in 2002, that severe acute respiratory syndrome, SARS. And if you remember the SARS epidemic in 2002, 2003, the markets returned approximately, I think it was something around 14.5% after the SARS outbreak. So, and 12 months after, it actually did 20%. So, history has shown, I hate to tell you this, Jay, are you sitting down? History has shown that the markets after an epidemic have been positive. Oh, my goodness. You're not going to hear this on any other news. You figure MERS, cholera, November 2010. The swine flu, the avian swine flu, 2009, 18% afterwards. There was a case of AIDS actually did have an effect. That was back in June of 1981. With the 12-month percent change, the S&P was minus down 10%, almost down 11%. But the avian flu, 2006, market was up 11.66%. The swine flu, 18.72%. That was in April of 2009. Zika, remember Zika? That wasn't that long ago. 12% after Zika. That was January of 2016. And if you don't remember, this is pretty recent. June of 2019, measles, rubella. Remember, they made it even our governor made it mandated that people had to be vaccinated to attend school, including all schools, including private schools, up 9.82% after that outbreak. So I think the most that had an infection was really the SARS, of course, AIDS, and then second would be SARS. So, the data's still out there, but that's just something I just thought I'd throw that in there. It's very interesting analysis. There's some very, very interesting facts around viruses, but we are seeing some weakness today, and it may carry into the week. We may have another conversation this week.
You know, that's an excellent point on your end. You know what it is? It's just kind of the fear of this virus at this point in time. You mentioned the other. That's great information, by the way, Craig, but you know, I think at this point with Corona, a lot of people have questions and they see a little bit of a spread here. The contagious nature of it all. You're right. The SARS thing, we remember as vividly as if it was yesterday. 02, 03, the masks and everything else. But I think it's more on the uncertainty, even more so now, of coronavirus as compared to some of the others. Thus, how it's affecting the market. It'll be very interesting as we get more information on this thing, to see the effect it'll actually have on the numbers. That'll be very interesting to see, but we'll keep an eye on things. So we'll
it's never a bad time to take a profit, that's for sure. And if you're up, never a bad time. What should investors do with the average person sitting in their cars that would do? Never a bad time to go into a more defensive posture if you feel you want to take a breather here. If you're up some percentage, it doesn't hurt to take a profit either. So just to let people know.
57, Mr. Ferrantino, always a pleasure.
Yes. Thank you, Jay. Always a great pleasure. We'll talk to you soon.